All right, church. Tiffany's going to come share the scripture with us.
Thank you, Eric. Good morning. I don't know if you guys can feel it, but I feel the Spirit of the Lord, and I hope that all of you feel it as well. We're going to turn in our Bibles to John 11, verse 5. You can read, or you can just listen. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. And are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." After saying these things, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking a rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. So when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him. But Mary remained seated in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world." Please join me as we say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice.
Thank you so much, Miss Tiffany. Thank you, worship team. Thank you guys for being here. It's a special day, and it's an honor and a privilege to be able to share it with you guys. Now, I just want to just mention to you a couple of things. We have a special spot for you. We've always had a selfie wall. You guys know where the selfie wall is. But you probably noticed that there were some things that were a little different and a little bit more decorated for Easter Sunday. So if you would like to go by there, we had a friend of someone here in the church volunteer to decorate and make that very special for Easter Sunday. So go by there, get some pictures, and just enjoy that. We also have one other selfie wall, and that is actually right outside this door near the Easter egg hunt, and then right over here against the wall of the church. And so this one is a little bit more flowers, and that's a little bit more festive. So we'll call it like that. And you guys enjoy. Go ahead and grab that. And hey, as long as you're in your Sunday best, you may as well get a picture, right? All right. So very good. Thank you for being here. Now, I also want to just mention something that Eric mentioned, and I want to kind of give it to you one more time. That texting service that we talked about, there is actually a gap card. You can get in touch with the God Answers prayer team here. And I just know that sometimes if you haven't had an opportunity to do so, this is a good time for you to share prayer requests and things that are going on in your life that you need someone to bring that before God. And if that is the case, today is your day. I mean, here is the path that we use. Just use that number up there and then just simply include the word gap. That way we know it's a prayer request. If you want to just keep it anonymous, we can keep it anonymous. Just write that word anonymous in that gap prayer request. Or if you are an analog person and you'd like to actually use old-fashioned pen and paper, that still works, by the way. I just want y'all to know. But yes, out there at the reception counter, you can grab that and you can use that if you would like and just have that given to the gap team, and we'll be praying for you whatever your prayer need is. Okay, now I've got a feeling that I may be fading a little bit here and there. You know, the other day I was fading in and out and then it just quit, and I got to do like a little dance up here to try to entertain people, and everybody said, if you ever do that again, I'm never coming back. So please grab me some batteries, whatever those may do and be and look like. And I thought I had brand new batteries this morning, and I actually did, but I guess I preached so hard into that microphone that it was just like, no more, no more. Y'all don't believe that either, do you? Okay. All right. Well, let me just share with you, I appreciate so much you being here and being a part of things. We are going to have a kids activity at the end with that petting zoo and the Easter egg hunt. And before we do that, we're going to have kids up here presenting. And I know that I am not the main course. This is going to be the fun stuff that's coming up. But how important it is for us to share around God's word on such an incredibly special and incredibly important day. So we're kind of finalizing and bringing to a close the teaching series that we've been calling Long Live the King. And I just want to kind of share with you, I know a lot of the time as we begin an Easter service, we find ourselves near a tomb. But as we find ourselves today near a tomb, it's not Jesus's tomb, it's the tomb of Lazarus. And that's a little bit different than normal, but it is incredibly important, and it shares so much of what we need to hear in the situation that we are in when it comes to living life and moving forward in our lives. So, all right, let me grab this red microphone for a minute. I'm going to give this to Eric and let him switch that out, and you guys can follow along with me anyway. Okay, there we go. Eric, I appreciate it. There we go. Okay. Now, I'm going to let him do that, and we're going to keep moving. Laurel and Hardy have nothing on Puckett and Teague, I guess. I don't know. He said, I didn't know it was disconnected. This is strange. Well, don't touch me there. Don't touch me there. There's children in this audience. All right. There we go. Thank you very much. Can we hear it for Eric? Thank you so much. Man, this poor guy, whatever needs to get done, it gets done. And, anyway. All right. So as we begin today, don't miss this. This is so incredibly important. Christ's victory over death was not the only resurrection in the Gospels. The widow of Nain's son from Luke chapter 7. Yes, Nain has a biblical name if you know Nain Chavez. The raising of Jairus' daughter from Matthew chapter 9. Lazarus from John chapter 11. And maybe we're going to get to the one that we see in Matthew chapter 27. But here's the truth. Where Jesus went, funerals got kind of canceled. And so we celebrate that today. He upended the things that were the norm. And today, one of the benefits of seeing Lazarus' tomb rather than Jesus' tomb is that Jesus is right there to speak to us, to teach us some things that he is not there when he is emptied his own tomb out. We'll talk a little bit about that as we go on. But let's know that Christ's victory over death was not just this one single thing that he did. He shared life everywhere he went. So let's go to our next slide here. And as we look at our next slide, this is our something to learn. Mary and Martha sent word that Lazarus, a friend of Jesus's, was very sick. But John is very clear as he writes his gospel that Jesus is kind of strangely in no big hurry to get back there, even after receiving that word about Lazarus. So he has a very good reason. And let me be very clear about this, and I want you to hear. He knows that they're going through a huge trial. We'll talk more about that in a moment. But just know that as they go through this huge trial, at the end, it's going to glorify God. It's not just simply go through this painful thing and ordeal and then just deal with it. There is something very important that is being accomplished, but it is hard for them in that moment. So let's keep moving to our next slide, and I want to share this with you, that Jesus is unfazed by death's finality. Part of what we notice here is as Jesus is not in a big, you mean Lazarus is sick? I got to get there. And by the way, in the Old Testament and New Testament, death could find you like that. I mean, if you guys don't know, back in the day, life expectancies were very, very short. And there are people that died, even in our America here. George Washington died basically because he got wet one day and had pneumonia because of it and couldn't dry off. And he died of asphyxiation. I mean, crazy stuff that we take for granted. And so a person falling ill could end at a tomb, but it was so important that Jesus was not worried. He was like, it's not going to be what you think it's going to be. And he's not even worried about his own cross that is fast approaching. And let's be very clear. This does not happen, you know, years before the cross. This is probably weeks or months at most before Jesus is going to be on a cross for himself and going to be facing death in his own physical body. And so if you are like me and I'm like you, we probably would tell Lazarus, look, man, I'm going through some of my own things. I mean, I can't really come running right now because I'm dealing with a lot myself that you don't even grasp or understand. But that's not Jesus, right? That's why we're us and Jesus is Jesus. He drops everything and comes in his own timing and in his purposeful way. He doesn't just simply rush, but he is never late. And by the way, God's timing is seldom early, but it is never late. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. All right, so let's keep moving here as we go to this next slide. Greater love has no one than this, than someone lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus is just about to do. And so the cross is imminent, it's close, but it is not something that paralyzes Jesus. He's still concerned about his close friends and what they're dealing with. Let's go to our next slide. As you look here, this is our big idea. Lazarus's victory over death shows that God's plan is resurrection for all mankind. And this is why I wanted to speak and preach about this particular passage of Scripture today. Because for many of us, we think of Easter and we say, oh, this is the resurrection. It's Jesus coming back to life. And it is all of those things. And praise God for all of those things. But if we're not careful, sometimes we can forget that his resurrection did not just simply accomplish something amazing so we could be in awe of Jesus alone. Now, we should be in awe of Jesus, and this is a phenomenal, incredible, unheard of thing, because every time that those resurrections happened, it was because of Christ's power that showed up, usually in the person of Christ. But when Jesus is resurrected, it's God putting a stamp on his life and saying, I approve of everything that this man has done and everything that he has offered in return for the sin offering that he has given. Now, even further, this matters for you and for me because we are like Lazarus. We're not like Jesus. I mean, we all know that, right? Can I get an amen? I mean, we want to be, but we ain't. I mean, that's Oklahoma talk for no, we are not, okay? But here's the deal. We ain't like Jesus. We know he's different than us and we're different than him. We want to be more like him, but we ain't him. But then you've got somebody like Lazarus. He's just like us. And Jesus brings him back to life showing that resurrection for all of humankind was the whole point. It wasn't just about Jesus and his power for him alone. It was Jesus and his power to save all of humankind. And that is a big thing. Can I get an amen? Amen? Okay, so Lazarus's victory over death shows that God's plan is resurrection for all of mankind. Would you guys say that on the count of three with me? Ready? One, two, three. Lazarus's victory over death shows that God's plan is resurrection for Randy Puckett and you and your name. Because when he came out of that grave, he wasn't thinking of himself and look how amazing this makes me look. He's thinking of your name and your eternal destiny that he has just paid the way for if you will accept it. You, me, all of us, no matter who we are or what we've done, he cares and it's been his plan all along. Amen. All right, so let's go to our next slide here. As we go here, there's one more thing to learn. The Gospel of John mentions that the sister of Lazarus, Mary and Martha, twice remarked that Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. The reason that these two women both mention it is that it's a Jewish superstition that held that a person's ghost lingered for about 3 days nearby before leaving. In other words, Mary and Martha, who had the tiniest thread before, had now lost any hope that they were holding on to. Do you guys understand? They thought if they got lucky, maybe if Jesus could come back before the spirit or the ghost left Lazarus, he might call him to come back into his body and save him. There might be a resurrection after all. So that little bitty hope, as the hours tick away, all goes away. And twice in this conversation that Jesus has with Mary and Martha, they both say, Lord, it's been 4 days. It's been 4 days. If you could have got here before the 4 day mark, maybe something could have been done. But now it's been 4 days, and what in the world are we going to do? Fortunately for them, for these two sisters, and fortunately for Lazarus, God specializes in hopeless situations. And there is no such thing as a hopeless situation for him. When we talk about the cross of Christ and somebody being crucified on it and laid in a tomb because they were dead, this is the ultimate in hopelessness in many, many ways. But in the process of it all, Jesus shows up and changes everything. And because of that, there is no such thing as a hopeless situation because of Christ's victory. And that's incredibly important. Let's keep moving to our next slide. And I'm going to share a couple of things with you. There are three takeaways from the two tombs, Lazarus's tomb and Jesus's tomb. And I'm going to try to move through these pretty quick. But first of all, knowing Christ's power allows us to see death differently. Jesus was in no hurry because he doesn't see death the way that we do. We see death as the finality that it is actually not. Not when Jesus is on the scene. And so there is no fear in Jesus' action. There is only purpose and patience. And also the things that are going on will be something that just is a blessing for millennia yet to come. We're talking about it today. So knowing Christ's power, it allows us to see death differently. And if you have lost someone that is incredibly important to you, I want to tell you, this is your day. Easter is your day that reminds you death is not final and that there is a reunion that awaits you. And so because of that, we celebrate, not because of Easter eggs and Easter bunnies and petting zoos, and I love all that stuff, don't get me wrong. I'm not making any statement. I'm here for it. But I'm here for it because of Easter. And Easter is most important about the thing that it gives us hope and that thing that changes all of our destinies. It's so incredibly important. So that is our first takeaway from the two tombs. This knowing Christ makes life worth living. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. How many of y'all know that song? Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, oh, oh, he holds the future. And then what? And life is worth the living just because what? Because he lives. I want you to think for just a moment, how hopeless Mary and Martha felt, and how everything changed even when Jesus came. They had given up all hope and they thought it was over. And Jesus says, but you need to remember, I told you that your brother will rise again. No, I know he's going to eventually rise again. And Lord says, no, I've got something else planned for him. I am the resurrection and the life. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He is going to bring something back to life in the midst of something that seems and appears dead. Now, I think this is so incredibly important, and I want you to, it's too long. I know it's way too long, but I want you to try to memorize this next scripture if you possibly can. Let's check it out. This next script. You may be thinking, Pastor, you forgot to put the rest of it there. No, that is it. This is the shortest verse in the Bible from John 11:35. But this is a powerful passage of scripture because you have to stop and think. Why does Jesus weep? I mean, he already knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead. He already knows that Lazarus is going to be brought back to life. Why does Jesus weep? It doesn't really make sense. He could be over there telling Mary and Martha, no, you guys, y'all are upset about nothing. I'm telling you, it's about to get good. Hang in there with me. But that's not what he said. Can I share something with you? Sometimes you will face some things and go through some things, and you will weep and you will wonder if anybody fully grasps what you're going through. Here's what I know. I know without a doubt that Jesus weeping with Mary and Martha reminds you that he cares about whatever you're going through. And even though he knows it's going to be good later, he still cries in the moment that you cry. Now, if you wonder if anybody in this world cares, I'm here to tell you that this passage of scripture is a perfect example that God cares about you. He doesn't care about you in the general. He cares about you in the very specific. He cares about you when you feel absolutely at the end of your rope. Even the overarching stuff, yes, it's still there. But even at the gut level and the moments that are hard, and you know when it's gonna get good eventually, but right now it's real hard, and you wonder, is he just telling you, I don't worry about it, it's gonna be fine, it's gonna be fine, it's gonna be fine. Sometimes you just need somebody who will cry with you. And if that is you and you wonder who that might be, let me introduce you to a guy named Jesus. He cares about everything about you. And when he weeps because you weep. He knows your pain and he's not dismissive of it. That's my kind of Savior. Can I get an amen? All right, so let's keep moving. As we do here, as Jesus wept over Lazarus's death, he's showing his royalty. And yes, it is temporary, but he also knows that Mary and Martha are going through some of the hardest days of their life. And he's not going to make that something that doesn't matter or count for him. He takes it and he says, I've got good news. I've got something that's going to change everything. This is temporary. But he weeps anyway. Let's keep moving here to our next slide here. And Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. This is the rest of the story. It was a cave. A stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, for he has been dead. How many? 4 days. You see it? And then Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? And so they took away the stone. And then it keeps going on the next couple of slides as well. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around me, that they may believe that you sent me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the man who had died came out, his hands and feet bound with linen strips, his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. Now, I love this about Jesus. He is not there conjuring stuff, you know. He's not, you know, doing the Elvis thing that, you know, he used to do. That's not him. That's not his style. He's not there to draw attention to himself, but he is there to bring life to what was dead. And so because of that, he just simply says, Lazarus, come out. And he does. And then he says, let him loose. He's not a dead man anymore. He doesn't need to be wearing grave clothes anymore. That could probably preach a whole sermon on, you're no longer a dead man. You don't need to be wearing grave clothes. But I am staying on task, okay? But I'm telling you, for some of y'all, y'all need to get rid of your grave clothes because you are not dead, but you're just living like you are. That's where we're coming next week, where we talk about coming to life and living in Technicolor. So I'll share that with you next week, and there'll be a lot to say. So as we keep moving here to our next slide, let me just share this with you. That third takeaway from the two tombs is knowing Christ's power over death, we have hope, even in hopeless situations. And we've already talked about that, so I won't go too much further on it, but let's go to our next slide, and I wanted to share this from, don't miss this, it's Max Lucado wrote a book called On Calvary's Hill, 40 different readings for the Lent season. But it says, Christ lived the life we could not live and took the punishment that we could not take to offer us the hope that we could not resist. I shared this with you guys in the first service. I know a handful of y'all are still here. But I will just say, it is an amazing thing to know the weight of people's prayers and to know the presence of God in your dark moments. And over the last couple of months, you guys know a lot of the things that we have been facing in my house. But I'm telling you, we have never faced them alone. Not only have your prayers been with us, but God's Holy Spirit has been with us, and the power of Christ has been evident in my wife's life in amazing, amazing ways. And I can't even tell you all of the ways that it makes you feel, because it's just indescribable. But I will tell you this, God didn't need to necessarily get more real than he has always been to me. Clearly, I'm passionate about the Lord and all of that stuff, but I'm going to tell you something. There's no way in the world I could deny the power of God after what I've seen over the last few months. And knowing the presence of God, I don't know what you are facing, and I don't know what you have written off as hopeless, and I don't know what is scaring you and keeping you up at night. But here's what I do know. You do not have to face it alone. That he is the one who did the things that we could not do for ourselves. He took the punishment. He lived the life. And then eventually he came so that we might always have hope. And living with hope and without hope, it's like night and day. And if you are a person who has lost hope, I want you to know that we serve a God who specializes in bringing hope back from the dead and putting it into your life. All right, so let's keep moving here. And this, I want to keep moving to the next slide. And this is a guy named Dietrich Bonhoeffer. I don't know if any of you guys have ever heard of him. We pastors and preacher nerds love this guy, and I'll tell you why. Because back in the day when World War II Germany was going on and all of the craziness that was happening, he lived in Germany. He was a pastor and eventually became a spy. How cool is that, right? But he was there trying to fight against the Third Reich, and Hitler, as he rose to power, he would not give in and be the church that Hitler wanted. He instead wanted to be the church that lived as God wanted it to live. And so he literally lived a martyr's life and gave his life. But notice what he said. He said, Good Friday and Easter free us to think about other things far beyond our own personal fate, about the ultimate meaning of all life, suffering, and events, and we lay hold of a great what? Hope. Now, I do not know if you are living with hope or if you have lost all hope, but I'm here to tell you that Easter is the birth of hope. And this is where it all begins. And just like he looks at Mary and Martha and says, no, I've got something in store for you that you're going to find just amazing. He's saying the same to you. He wants to give you and bring you hope where you have none. So let's keep moving here as we go on. I do want to just mention this. There's a couple of things that happen in Matthew 27, and I want to focus, but I'm going to move pretty quickly. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. This is the story of the crucifixion. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. And tombs also were open. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And then he goes on and says, and coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went to the holy city, appeared to many. And when the centurion and those who were with him kept watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake, saw everything that took place, they were filled with awe and they said, truly, this was the Son of God. Now, I want to just share three things, and I'm going to hit them very, very quickly. Let's go to our next slide. Here's what I know as we see here. You notice this important point. Jesus' death gave life immediately to saints coming out of graves at his final words on the cross. So you don't have to wait for heaven to live a life that is victorious in Jesus. Secondly, Jesus' death gave a choice to all of us, and this is what I want to say. This centurion was a Roman. He was not a Jew. He had probably seen some things. You know what I'm saying? I mean, seen some things. He'd been there at a number of crucifixions, I have no doubt. He was probably hardened and jaded in every way possible. And for him to look up and see a man dying on the cross and say, this man truly was the Son of God. Just know how royal Jesus was in that moment when he was at his very worst. The centurion saw him and he said, no matter who I am or what I've done, I'm declaring him to be the Son of God. Now, and then thirdly, Jesus' death took away all barriers to the presence of God for all humanity. Let me just say very quickly, I'm not going to go into it too much, but that temple veil separated the presence of God and the Holy of Holies from everyone out there. And when Jesus died, that curtain, it was not just this small curtain. It was about 4 inches thick. It was about 60 foot wide and about 30 foot tall. It was like a Broadway curtain and then some. That's how incredibly important it was, but it separated us from God's presence. But here's what I know. At the moment that Jesus died, from the top to the bottom, not from the bottom to the top, not what man could do to reach to God, but what God was doing to reach to man, he split the curtain and said, there is no longer anything that keeps you, the one I have created, from me, the one who loves you enough to send my son Jesus to die for your sins. If you've ever felt unloved, it's just because you just didn't get it. But hopefully you're hearing it now. You are incredibly loved, incredibly valuable. And just as Jesus called Lazarus out of the grave clothes that he was in, he wants to change your life, but it is up to you. He has done all that he can do to remove any barrier, but it is still your choice. It is still your decision, and you can come to God. So very quickly, let me just share this question that Jesus asked Mary and Martha as he was with them. Very quickly, let's see it here on our next slide. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. That's already pretty awesome. You could probably put that on a tattoo, right? But that's not where it ends, is it? He asks a friend and he says, do you believe this? And so this is where I come to you and I say, do you believe this? You see, Easter is not about all the celebrations. Easter's not just about, hey, this is cool, let's celebrate Jesus. This is personal stuff. And when he says to the girls that are wishing their brother came back, he says to them, he says, you know what? I want to know, do you believe this? Do you remember what she says? Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Son of God who was to come into this world. I believe you were sent from God so that I might be forgiven. And I believe. In that moment of belief, your life can change. In that moment of question, you have to decide. You cannot just simply keep it moving and go, cool, that's good. Jesus is awesome. I'm so glad I celebrated him. No, 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 listen. He's tapping you on the chest and saying, do you believe this? And if you do, you can't live like you did before. You have to answer the question, and when you do, you make the decision of whether or not he will change your life or you will just keep it moving the way that it's always been. Still on Team Jesus, still got the t-shirt, still rocking the chain, but not really changed. You see what I'm saying? He wants us, all of us. And as we honor his royalty, then we are called to display our own loyalty. We've been talking about this all teaching series long. So how do we figure it out? How do we go? This is it. Let me just share this with you as we kind of close. You show the king your loyalty by living every single day like you believe in him, making him the center of your entire life for all of your life. Not for a little while, not for some, not for the things that are convenient, not on the weekend only, but all of your life. All of your days and all of you given over to the God who made you in the first place. And here's what I would share with you. If you're looking for peace and if you're looking for purpose, if you're looking for forgiveness, if you're looking for a friend, if you're looking for loneliness and anxiety to be dissipated, it is not found in all the other things that this world is trying to sell you or push on you, but it is found in the person of Jesus. I could go on and on and on. I cannot, because I know I'm going to lose you if I keep going too long, but I'm telling you, keep coming. This is not the end. This is the beginning. As we talk next week about coming to life and living in technicolor, man, I'm telling you, there is an abundant life yet to be seen and experienced, but you can only do that if you say, you know what? Yes, Lord, I believe that you are actually who you say you were, the Son of God who was to come into this world so that everything might be different and everyone might be changed. Amen. So let's go to our next slide. Here's where we are. We're going to talk about how do you apply this. You begin by showing your belief and love for Christ into your Monday to Saturday life. Last week I put Monday to Friday. I mean, some of y'all need Jesus more on Saturday than any other day. I'm just saying. But does your life actually look different if you've answered that question yes? Does your life actually look different? Because it's supposed to. It's supposed to. I mean, that kind of sacrifice, that kind of victory doesn't just deserve a fist bump and a move on. It deserves something a whole lot more and more than we can actually give, but we ought to give at least all we got. And then secondly, you make a commitment that calls you to be the person that you know that you need to be. In other words, you need to share it. You need to change some things. You need to commit to some things. You need to be held accountable to some things. Because most of us, we feel it in the moment, but then we don't make any decisions. And then when we stop feeling it, there's no consequences left. You know what I'm saying? Y'all understand where I'm coming from? Because if you start telling people and changing some things and committing and having somebody hold you accountable to being the very best that you can be for God, it begins to be serious and personal, and it gets double checked, and you actually make some moves because you don't want to give up on what you know you really want, but you don't want in the every single moment. I know I said a lot there. And I don't think I said a lot of it well, but I think all of you got it. Can I get an amen and I'll keep moving? All right, good enough then. I'm gonna call it good. Okay, so here's what we know. Easter changes everything, but it has to be your decision. So again, I come and ask you the question. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus said. He who believes in me will never die. And those who live and believe in me will never die. The question is, do you believe this enough to let it change your entire life? I bet you Lazarus could say, thank God it changed mine. I know Mary and Martha felt the same way, and you won't regret that change, I promise. Let's check out this video.
He didn't want dinner. And then he went to bed early, which isn't like him. He's the night owl. Lazarus is the night owl. Something wasn't right.
Sent for the only one who could help, who could fix it. He'd help total strangers, of course. More importantly, he was our friend. I promised Lazarus. Jesus would come, he would heal him. I was sure of it.
You know, you can see it sometimes in a person's eyes, that look. And they're letting go of this world just a little bit at a time.
Those 4 days might as well have been 4 lifetimes. Everything I knew about Jesus fell apart. Not that he wasn't the Messiah, it wasn't that. It was more personal.
It was all this pain, all this doubt. I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Our brother was dead, sealed in a tomb. And I said to him, if you had just been here, our brother wouldn't have died. But he said, didn't I tell you? If you would just believe, you would see God's glory.
I knew I was supposed to embrace those 4 days. That gap in my life, that gap in our lives, where God made no sense at all. It was as if God wasn't even listening. But without those 4 days, before I believed in him, now I believe him.
We didn't understand that, but we do now. He doesn't just give life.
He is life.
Yes.
He is the Christ. He is the Son of God who comes into this world, and whoever believes in him will live.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Easter Kids presentation. Please stand with me as I read this chapter. Please open your Bibles to Luke 24, 1 through 12. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but they went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes. So the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still with you in Galilee, saying, 'It is necessary that the Son of Man be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day?'" And they remembered his words. Returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other woman with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the woman. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stooped to look in, he saw only the linen cloths. So he went away, amazed at what had happened. You may be seated. Please enjoy.
According to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4.
And the angel said, "Don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. See the place where they laid him." Mark 16:6.
We know that Christ being raised from the dead will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Romans 6:9.
He has risen, just as he said, Matthew 28:6.
I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last, Job 19:25.
Quiet, warmth, we are here. Isaiah 53, verse 5.
Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3.
Of God, Ephesians 2:8.
Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" John 11, 25, verse 26.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3:16.